Well, the church just wants my fill in the blank. I wonder how you would answer that. Those watching online in Fulton Heights, I wonder how you would finish that sentence. The church just wants my blank. Today we continue our teaching series, Why I'd Walk Away. And we've created this series to create space to ask our faith questions, questions that all of us have, and we might just not be so confident to say out loud, faith questions like, is it okay to have doubt with my faith? Questions like, how can I believe that there's one true God? Maybe for you there's not questions, maybe it's a struggle. Maybe you prayed recently that God would do something, and God just said no. No reason, he just said no. And so now you're struggling to trust him, you're struggling to see that he's good. And we've created this series to make space for when our faith collides with real life, and to explore some of the reasons why people walk away from the faith, to explore some of the reasons why people walk away from the church. And today we explore maybe one of the top reasons why people walk away, specifically from the church. Today in Why I'd Walk Away, part four, the church just wants my money. Now, some of y'all just got real tense. Because maybe you've been in a setting and you've experienced someone like me using the Bible to manipulate why you give, to manipulate how you give and how much you give. It might actually surprise you that you and I probably share some similar reservations when it comes to this topic. I remember a few years ago, I was watching TV and there's this pastor on TV and he was like, if you sow a good seed of faith within the next 30 minutes, a portal of blessing is gonna open over your life. But you've got 30 minutes to call right now, and we've got a bunch of people at the phones waiting for your call, and the camera goes over to see all the people at the phones. And I'm like, dear Lord, no wonder why people hate Christians. Like, this is ridiculous. So bad news for you today. There's no portal of blessing. There's no one at the phones. And if you haven't seen anything like that on TV, just consider yourself blessed, okay? But I'm thinking that for all of us in this room, Fulton Heights, throughout our church-going experience, I'm thinking that at least one point in the journey, the thought has crossed our minds, or we've heard someone say, the church just wants my money. Let me be the first thing that we say up front. I don't care about your money. I don't care about your money. Like, honestly, there has never been a time in my entire life where I couldn't sleep at night because I woke up thinking, I just wonder how the people of Encounter are spending their money today. Like, it's never happened. I don't care about your money. But God cares about your heart. He cares about my heart. Jesus says this. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart lies also. So there's a string that connects our hearts to our wallets. And wherever our wallet goes, wherever our debit card goes, there goes our heart. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart lies also. So let me just say it one more time. I don't care about your money, but God cares about your heart. And because God cares about your heart, we're going to talk about your money and my money today as well. And let me also say this up front. Here's my heart for all of us. This is not what I want from you. Like, I'm not making a commission off of this message, right? Nothing like that. And my heart is, it's all about what I want for you in this message. And here's my goal today. I've got one simple goal. It's to plant this simple principle into your heart. And it's a principle that applies to all areas of our lives, but today we specifically apply it to our money. The principle is simply this. When we give God our best, he takes care of the rest. When we give God our best, he takes care of the rest. So what does it look like to give your best when you're a single mom and you're taking care of your baby girl and you're taking extra shifts at the hospital at night to make money to make rent at the end of the month? What does it look like to give God your best when you are a broke college student and you are like broke? Like you got under $20 in your account and you're calling, Mom, Dad, please help me out here, right? How do you give God your best when you are retired, you're on a fixed income, but as the months go on, it seems like that amount gets smaller and smaller because inflation just keeps going up? How do you give God your best when you're self-employed and flip a coin if next month you're going to be in the green or in the red? You see, the question on the table for us this morning is simply this. When it comes to our money, what does giving our best to God look like? So here's what I want to do for our time together today. I want to take a look at two stories in Scripture. One story of what to do, and then another story of what not to do. Right? One story of what it looks like when someone gives their best, and then another story of someone who withholds their best from God. So the first story that we're going to take a look at is what to do. And we find this in Mark chapter 12. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open up with me Mark chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible with you, no worries. We're going to have the text up on the screen. So Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 41, says this. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Verse 42, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Now, let's add some context to this as we explore. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's at the temple with his disciples, and he's kind of just chilling. Right? He's kind of hanging back, taking it all in. He's people watching. That's what he's doing in Mark 12. He's people watching. And where Jesus is in Mark chapter 12, he's at the court of women. It's the court of women, not because only women were allowed there, but it's called the court of women because it was the closest place to the temple building which women were allowed to be. You see, women didn't have full access to the temple. And in the court of women, they had 13 temple chests that collected the money that the people would give. And so Jesus is, he's chilling, he's people watching as people come in and they put their money into the temple chests. They would put money for temple taxes, different offerings, and this money that came in, that's what they used to fund all of the workings of the temple. And so Jesus is watching, people watching as people come to give their money. And what does he see? He sees many rich people throwing in large amounts. But then he sees this poor widow. She walks up to one of the temple chests and she reaches in her pocket and she pulls out two small copper coins and she drops them in. Watching this, how do you think Jesus is going to respond? Let's check it out. We see in verse 43, he says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. Did you catch that? Not just more than some of the rich people, but she's put in more than all of the rich people. Verse 44, they gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. So we have no idea who this poor widow is. We have no idea where she comes from, no idea what her story is or who's helping take care of her. Because historically speaking, women did not have the financial means to take care of themselves if their husband died, typically speaking. That's why Jesus tells his disciples, he says, hey, I want you to care after the orphans and the widows, because these were two groups of people that didn't have the resources to take care of themselves. So there's a lot that we don't know about the widow, but what do we know? What we do know is that she gave her best to God. But did she really give more than all of the others? Or is Jesus just bad at math? Right? Like, I get it, Jesus. I'm not good at math either. That's why I went to Bible college. And maybe that's why Jesus went to Bible college, because he wasn't good at math either. But she gave her best. She gave her best. What did she give? She gave two very small copper coins. When I was researching this week, I read somewhere that the two small copper coins that she gave were the two smallest Jewish coins that were in circulation in Palestine at the time. You see, the coins that had the most value were gold and silver coins, but she didn't have gold and silver coins. She had copper coins. And the two coins that she had, I read somewhere that it was worth about 1/64th of a day's wage of labor. I mean, financially speaking, that couldn't buy you a stick of gum, right? But who gave more? Who gave more? What did the rich people give? It says, Jesus says that they threw in large amounts. It's likely that these rich people, their coins were made of silver and gold. And it's likely that their coins were bigger. Like the size of the coin itself was bigger than the widow's two very small copper coins. So here the rich people are. They're throwing in gold and silver coins. They're throwing in bigger coins. And they're throwing in more coins. So who gave more? According to Jesus, this poor widow has put in more than all of the rich people. But how did she give more? How did she give more? Here's how. It's because the rich people, they gave out of their wealth. They gave some spare change that won't be missed. Here's what happened. The rich people looked at their income coming in and their expenses for the month, and they said, okay, this is for bills. This is for food and groceries. This is for our 401k and our retirement accounts. And this is for Johnny. He's going to need braces soon. I mean, look at him. He's going to need some braces, so we're going to have to set aside some money for that. Madison, she wants to play softball this year. We know that costs a lot of money. So this is for Madison. This is for softball. And we, man, I've seen everyone's photos this week on spring break. We are not staying in Michigan for another week with all this cold and rain. We are saving for a vacation. We're going on spring break. And this is for Starbucks. And what do we got left? We got a few gold and silver coins. Okay, here, God. Here's our coins. Here's our leftovers. You see, it was spare change that they'll never miss. Actually didn't cost them much at all. It wasn't much of a sacrifice, was it? But what did the poor widow give? She gave everything she had. One scholar that I read said, when she gave those two small copper coins, it likely left her without the means to pay for her next meal. She had no other choice but to trust God. Now, I want you to hear me on this. I don't think Jesus is asking us to give 100% of our income. I don't think that's what the ask is here. Jesus knows you got to pay the bills. Jesus knows that Madison wants to play softball. That's a great thing. He knows Johnny's going to need braces. Saving for retirement is a wise thing to do. It's okay to go on vacation. It's okay to get Starbucks every once in a while. But no matter who you are, no matter how much money you make, no matter where you're at in your career journey, God is always calling you and I into sacrificial generosity. He's always calling us to give our best. You see, I've never found a time in Scripture where God tells me that it's okay to hold on to what I have and only give when it's easy and convenient. And hear this. When God is asking for our best, it's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. It can't be about the amount. She gave two small copper coins. What's it about? It's about your heart. With God, it's never about the amount. It's about your heart. To God, the heart of the giver matters so much more than the gift. The heart of the giver, it matters so much more than the gift. When we give God our best, what does he do? He takes care of the rest. So Jesus calls his disciples together and he says, you see that poor widow? Did you see what she just did? That's the kind of wholehearted commitment that I'm looking for. So that's the story of what to do. Now let's take a look at the second story that we find today, and this is a story of what not to do. We find this story in Genesis chapter 4. It's when two brothers, Cain and Abel, bring their offerings to God. We find it in Genesis chapter 4, the second part of verse 2 says this. It says, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it came time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. As we fill this out a little bit, let's talk just real quick about the biblical concept of first fruits. For some of you, maybe this is the first time hearing about it. Maybe others, you've heard about this principle before. So specifically in the Old Testament, Israel, in large part, they were farmers, right? They lived off the land. The success of their family, feeding their family, was dependent upon successful agriculture. They didn't have a Chick-fil-A down the road. Sad, right? They didn't have that option. And so imagine this. You're an Israelite. Now, I'm painting this in broad strokes, but just imagine this. You're an Israelite, and God has called you to give your first, your best. And so you're a farmer. You sow good seeds into good soil, and you have a wonderful harvest. You've got your first. You've got your best. And God says, hey, what you have in your hand right there, your first, your best, maybe not all of it, but some of it, your best, I want you to sacrifice that to me. You and I might be thinking, well, God, how am I going to feed my family? How do I know that there's going to be a second harvest when I can't currently see it? God says, well, give me your best and I'll take care of the rest. What does it boil down to? It's trust. If we give God our first, if we give God our best, can we trust God to give a second harvest when we can't currently see it? See, as Christians, we're not called to live by sight. We're called to live by faith. Let's go back to the story with Cain and Abel. Again, verse 2. It says, when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought a gift. What did he bring? The best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. So what did Cain bring? Just some of his crops. What did Abel bring? The best portion of his firstborn lambs. How do you think God's going to respond to this offering? What's he going to say? Let's check it out. Second part of verse 4. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift. All right. But what about Cain? Verse 5. But he did not accept Cain and his gift. Why didn't he accept Cain and his gift? Is God like my 13-month-old son and not like vegetables? Like, what's going on here, God? Abel brought his best, and God accepted it. Cain did not bring his best, and God did not accept it. Here's the sobering reality, friends. God is not interested in our leftovers. He's interested in our best. Here's what I think happened, right? Remember, it's not about the money. It's about the heart. But for Cain, what's wrong with his crops? There's nothing wrong with his crops. They're good crops. There's nothing wrong with them. They're fine. You see, the deficiency wasn't in Cain's crops. The deficiency was in Cain's heart. The author of Hebrews, he fills this in. We'll have it up on the screen. The author, chapter 11, verse 4 says, by faith, by what? Faith. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. Here's what I think happened. I think Abel said, God, here's my best. God, here is my first. I give you this and I trust that you are going to meet my needs. And I think Cain said, I'm going to keep my best. I'm going to keep to make sure I'm provided for. I make my own way. God, here's some leftovers. You see, the deficiency, it's not in his crops. It's in his heart. So I say again, it's not about the money. It's not about the crops. What's it about? It's about your heart. Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart lies also. Cain's not having a good day, is he? Cain's not having a good day. But there's still good news for Cain. I don't want you to miss this because maybe there's some in the room who are saying, Kyle, as I look at the story, I got to be honest. As I look at my life, I'm a lot more like Cain than I am Abel. And I think we've definitely, all of us, have been there. Look at the good news for Cain. The good news is that while Cain withholds his best from God, God does not withhold his presence from Cain. I'll say that again. While Cain withholds his best from God, God does not withhold his presence from Cain. To put it more simply, God gives Cain a second chance. Let's check it out. So we'll read it again, verse 4. It says, the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Verse 6, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. You see, if you're going to ask someone a question, it means you've moved toward them to talk to them. God moves toward Cain. Why do you look so dejected? Verse 7, you will be accepted if you do what is right. It's clear. God did not accept Cain's offering, but it's also clear that God doesn't remove his presence. Instead, he moves toward Cain. He moves toward Cain. So if you're listening to this message, and again, you're like, Kyle, if I'm honest, I'm more like Cain than I am Abel. And again, I think that's all of us at some point in our journey. The good news this morning is that God is not walking out on you. His presence is not walking out the door. Instead, his presence is moving toward you, toward me. God says, Cain, my mercy is new for you each and every single day. God says, Cain, I've got a second chance for you. When we give God our best, what does he do? He takes care of the rest. And this principle is so good that even God operates within the principle. Did you know that? When God looked at you, what did he give? Did he give his leftovers? Did he give some of his spare change that he'll never miss? Or did he give you his best? Or did he give you, watch this, his firstborn? Scripture declares that for God so loved the world, that means you, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the gospel, friends. And if we put our faith in this, if we put our trust in this, if we receive this, our sins are forgiven and we are restored to the Father. You see, God looked at you and he said, how can I not give my best? He wasn't obligated to give his best. He gave his best because he loves you. And so in return, he says, I want the best of your time. I want the best of your talents. I want the best of your treasure, your money. And really, it's not about the money. It's about your heart. But I know that if I have your treasure, I'll have your heart. And your heart is what I'm really after. And I think God says, I know it's hard to give your best. So I'll go first. Here's my son. When we give God our best, he takes care of the rest. So what does it look like to give your best this week? What does it look like to give your best this month? What's it look like to give your best when you're a single mother and you're doing everything that you can to provide for your little girl and you're picking up shifts late at the hospital and you're bringing all your money together just to make ends meet, just to pay for the daycare bills? What does it mean to give your best when you're a broke college student and the fanciest date you can afford is Taco Bell? Some of you are like, how did he know? Because I've been there. My first date with my wife was Wendy's. True story, thank you. What does it mean to give sacrificially when you're retired and you're on a fixed income and your financial advisor says, no, don't make that gift. Nope, that's gonna put you in jeopardy. You don't wanna harm the position that you're in. What's it look like to give sacrificially when you're self-employed and flip a coin if next month is going to be in the green or in the red, or maybe something is going to break and you have to fix it? My wife is self-employed, so we live that world. What does it look like to give your best? Maybe for some of you this week, your best is $5. Again, it's not about the amount. It's about your heart. And others of you, maybe your best this month is $500. It's still not about the amount. It's about your heart. So what would it look like if all of us in this place, Encounter Church, what would it look like if we all looked at our finances and looked at our money and say, God, this is my best. And I trust that as I give this to you in faith, you're going to take care of me. You're going to provide for me. Because when I give God my best, he takes care of the rest. I want to wrap up and share just one story with you. God has been faithful to my family and I as we've tried to walk out this principle. January 1st of 2022, my wife and I made a financial goal to become debt-free except for our home. We had some small car loans. We had a mountain of student debt. Both of us had loans from undergraduate and graduate school. So you can just use your imagination for what that balance was. And when we were looking at all of our debt on January 1st, 2022, it was a mountain. And to be honest, it was depressing. It was depressing. It kind of just sucked the joy right out of us, and it didn't look like there was much light at the end of the tunnel. And we just got so fed up with it that we said, we're getting out of debt. That was our favorite word for 2 years. We're getting out of debt. And so on that day, January 1st, 2022, we set a goal and we made a plan to become debt-free except for our home. And so we embarked on this journey of setting aside every single extra dollar that we could find. We both worked two jobs. We didn't go out to eat much. We didn't go shop for clothes much. We didn't go to Starbucks as much. We sold our camper. Like, I was going into my basement, like, anything that I could find to sell, I'm selling everything. We sold so much stuff that I think my son and the dog thought that they were next. We're just selling all of this. We're getting out of debt. We're getting out of debt. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. There was a few moments on that journey where I was like, I can't take this anymore. This is stressful. Michelle, we're going out to eat and I'm buying a new pair of shoes. So we definitely messed up a few times. But I remember in that journey, there was a critical moment. I was looking at our income and I was looking at our expenses, and I was going down the line of my Excel spreadsheet. Yeah, I nerd out like that. And the line item was tithes to Encounter Church. And I had this thought. I thought, what if for just like 2 years, what if I don't tithe to Encounter and instead I take that money and save it for our debt? And then I started to have this conversation with God. I'm like, God, it's kind of a good idea. God, it's not forever. It's just for a little bit. God, we're going to take that money. We're going to apply it to debt, because if we do that, then we can get out of debt quicker and then we can be generous faster. Like, God, it's kind of a win-win, don't you think? And what's funny is that, so I've taught this message a few times, and that big idea of when we give God our best, he takes care of the rest. I've written that and said that hundreds of times. And as I was having that conversation with God, it was just staring me in the face. It was just staring me right in the face. And God was saying, Kyle, I know your goal. Give me your best and I'll take care of the rest. And so on that day, we made the decision. Okay, God, you know our goal. You know our hopes. We'll continue to tithe to Encounter, and we just trust you for what's next. And it was a beautiful day, August 29th, 2023, that my wife and I sent in final payments to become debt-free except for our home. It was awesome. When we give God our best, he takes care of the rest. God is faithful. See, it's not about the money. It's about your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart lies also. And as I've sought to live out this principle in my own life, I haven't been perfect. And I've probably messed up more ways than I know. But I have just seen God to be faithful. And here's just what I have such great confidence in, that if you and I, going forward, would look at the resources that God has given us, and we would respond in faith, just like the poor widow, just like Abel, and say, God, here's my best. Maybe it's $5, maybe it's 10. It's not about the amount, it's about your heart. God, here's my best. And when we do that, here's what I think we're gonna hear from God. I've got the rest. I'm gonna take care of you because I love you, because you're my child, because I delight in providing for you and taking care of you. So let us respond in faith today. Would you stand with me, everyone here, Fulton Heights as well? Would you stand as we get ready to close? Would you join me in prayer? Jesus, we know that this is a hard conversation. But God, I pray that you would give us the faith to trust you. And I recognize that the title of this message, The Church Just Wants My Money, we know that in our experience with church and in our journey of faith, I understand that there's baggage in the room. There's maybe someone has been hurt in their past because someone tried to manipulate the Bible into manipulate them to give a certain amount, or why. I know there's a lot of baggage there. God, I pray that you would sort that out. You would speak through that. God, that your heart would come clear in our gathering today. God, if there is anything that I've said today that does not align with your word, that does not align with your heart, God, would you help us to forget it, and would you correct me? And God, as we go forward, as we look at our money, as we look at our resources, help us to know that, well, none of it's ours anyway, that it's all yours, and you've allowed us to be stewards of this money and this resources. And God, I pray again that you would give us the faith, each and every single one of us, myself included, would you give us the faith to trust you, to give our first, to give our best, and thank you that you delight in taking care of us. Thank you that it's true. When we give you our best, you take care of the rest. And God, in moments when we don't get it right, I've had those moments, just like Cain, that you don't remove your presence from us, but you walk toward us and you say, I've got a second chance. So help us to respond in faith and help us to rest in your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen.